Hello everyone. To celebrate the launch of my new book, The Galway Connemara, please enjoy this sneak peek of the audiobook edition. You can buy the paperback, hardcover, ebook and audiobook on my website, elainehealybooks.com. The Galway Connemara is inspired by Black Beauty and it follows the life of an Irish Connemara pony called Lear. The story is told in his own words. I hope you like it.
Chapter 4. Those years in the fields with my mother Erin Malley, Shem, Delaney and Nana seemed endless. Summers stretched long and warm, full of dozes in sunshine, lush grass and play. Winters were harder, but we would huddle together for warmth and shelter, nestled in the bottom of the field in the shelter of the blackthorn bushes. But Nana was right. In reality, that time was short. At 3 years old, we began our working lives. I had grown not to need Nana's constant attention, choosing to spend time with the other fillies and geldings playing together. As we started our training, we often assembled together to discuss what we had learnt. We quickly realized what we liked and what we didn't. At first we learnt simple things. How to wear a bridle and bit, though it was merely a strange squishy bar of rubber. I was asked to walk around and around in circles wearing it, but I never really understood why. Nana huffed. She grumbled on and on about how humans shouldn't be doing this and that when I was so young. I didn't understand the words she used. Lunge jump backed. Lunging was the first word I came to know. One morning I was put into an odd head collar, with three metal rings on the top of the noseband. It was heavier than the bridle, and my head collar, but it wasn't uncomfortable. I found out later that it was called a caverson. I was brought into the little paddock we trained in. As I have said, Jack was a kindly man. He did his best for us, but unfortunately, his training techniques, as I later discovered, were not the best for a three-year-old horse whose body was still growing. He clipped a long rope to one of the rings, and waved one end of the rope at me. I moved away from it. This seemed to please Jack, so I moved again. I eventually realized he wanted me to walk around him in circles. I wasn't sure why I was supposed to do this, but I did. The circles were small, and I found them both boring to do and painful as I started to feel an ache in my muscles. It was uncomfortable, but as Nana always told me, I tried my hardest. Jack was pleased. He smiled up at Amy, who was sitting on the fence. See, love, we start them off right, get them trained up a little so they can find nice owners, have a good life, eh? Yes, Dad, she smiled back. The next day, I once again found myself in the paddock with the long rope. Only this time the human didn't wave the rope end at me, but a long stick with a long thin tail. Nana told me they called it a lunge whip. Jack waved it, and I moved away. He kept this going along with the word, walk. Then he waved the stick again and said, trot. I didn't understand. He made a little jump action with the stick, and the little snake-like tail made a popping, snapping noise at my heels. I jumped forward, rushing away from the strange sound, my heart racing. This, however, seemed to be what he wanted. I soon learnt that the little snap sound wasn't going to hurt, it meant go faster. I was relieved that I had learnt what he wanted. Over the next few weeks and months, the circles became faster. I was asked to walk, trot and canter them. This was hard. I struggled with the speed, feeling off balance, always worried I would stumble or fall. I found it harder to breathe too. My muscles tensed as I tried and tried to find my balance, and yet I constantly heard how good it was for me, for us. The five of us had similar training, and we all felt the same. We could do what we were asked, we understood and tried, but it was so hard for us trying to balance on the small circles. It wasn't the same as balancing, when we were running free together. It made our muscles ache and stressed our bones. Sometimes I tried to look out of the circle, a way to steady myself, but when I did this, Jack would pull my head towards him again. I found myself feeling exhausted after even a short amount of the work, trying to bend myself around, balance and do it at the speed requested. Nana said it was all too much. She said that we were too young to be doing all of this, that our bodies hadn't matured enough yet. I agreed with her, although I wasn't sure what matured was or when it would happen. Still, I coped with the training a lot better than Erin. She was almost wild in her attempts to get out of it. Nana cautioned me not to behave like that. Worse things, she said, can happen than lunging. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but if I had, I would have had a long talk with Erin. I often wonder what became of her, and if she learnt to partner with a human, or if her behavior simply meant she was forced to obey. Although while Jack was strict and disciplined in his training routine, Amy seemed to instinctively know what to do. Erin may have been wild on the lunge for him, but she would follow that girl around like a puppy on a leash. I hope that they muddled through and made a great team together. One fine morning, I was brought into the paddock to find there was a strange new obstacle in it. I had been prepared for more lunging, but I had neither the long rope nor the caverson. I absently wondered why humans needed all these strange gadgets to work with us. Surely I could have learnt to walk, trot and canter around the human without it. Nana said she had heard stories of horses trained like that, but she wasn't sure if it was really true. I hoped it was for some horse, somewhere. It was not true for me. I was led over to the obstacle. A long flat pole lay on the ground. I looked at it and snorted, but it didn't move. Jack led me over it. I wasn't sure why, but I obliged him, and he was pleased. We did this again in both directions. He then propped the pole up on a pair of small blocks and walked me over it again. This was harder. I had to lift my feet so they didn't knock the pole. Next, he fetched the lunge whip and had me go over the little raised pole alone. I managed this, and I was very pleased with myself. But if I had known what was to come, I wouldn't have been so happy. Over the course of a few days, my obstacle, which I learnt was called a jump, began to get bigger. I found I could no longer step over it, but had to jump over. At the same time, Jack began to crack his snake-like whip, asking me to go faster as I jumped. At first I could cope, trotting and sometimes cantering over the small cross or straight poles, but as they rose higher and his whip urged me even faster, I began to feel more and more anxious. How I hated going into the paddock and seeing that jump. But never more so than on the day my life course would change forever. I was dragged into the paddock and spotted it straight away. A high straight pole stretched between two white jump wings, two other poles had been balanced on the straight as guides to keep me from running out of either side. It was much bigger than I had jumped before. I felt my heart race. I looked around for a means to avoid it, but there was none. I tried to back away from it, but Jack and his whip pressed me forwards. When I tried to dance around and tell him I was scared that I couldn't do it, he snapped the whip. "Go on, you can do that," I almost closed my eyes as I made a dash at the fence, hoping I could make it over. At the last second, I panicked. I couldn't do it, I couldn't make it. It was too big, too fast. I scrambled at the fence, unable to go over and unable to stop. I remember hitting the wood, the pole feeling heavy as I clattered into it. I felt terrified by the weight of it, rearing to one side only to find the guide poles in the way. My back legs slid from under me as I tried to right myself. I scrabbled out of the tangle of poles and ran. I ran and ran, but there was nowhere to go. I was trapped in the little paddock. Eventually I saw Jack holding his hands up and speaking to me softly, calmly. I rushed to him, hoping for some safety. He spoke soft words and slipped a rope onto my head collar. It was only then, as I calmed down and he began to lead me to the gate, that I realized my leg hurt. I'd never felt anything like it before. The calmer I got, the more it ached and pinched. I limped after Jack. "Best call the vet," he grumbled. "What was that?" "Silly fella." He rubbed my nose. Jim the vet looked at my leg, making me walk and stand, picking it up, holding it out. He gave me something that made me feel very calm and sleepy. When I was fully awake again, I found myself with a shaved leg and a new future. Whatever I had done to my leg, Jim said it meant no more training, at least for some time. I was to rest. And so, while the others were saddled and backed, I remained in the field with Nana.
Thanks for listening. You can buy the paperback, hardcover, ebook, and audiobook on my website at elainehaneybooks.com.